Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And we welcome you to a new year, 2013. And here is our intro.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever He says. So glorify His name, He's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe 2013. It is here. We pass on my calendar. We are here in the land of the living.
Definitely living.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So if you are listening to our show, you can leave that dollar menu alone. And welcome to the steak, meat and potatoes of Blog Talk Radio.
Mm. Even it sounds good. I'm like, this can be a good show. Like, oh, I am one of the hosts. Let me tighten up.
Yeah. We're here, man. How was the new year?
Man, it's good, man. I actually, looking at everything that we've been through and that we've made it thus far, I feel that we are all truly blessed. I'm just looking over my life in general, and I'm just like, wow. I got to give God more praise because it's just amazing because there's so much turmoil going on, but yet we're still here. And God has done so much for us, man. I can't even count my blessings. I could try, but I won't be successful if I want to make it to the end. So it was a good new year. I'm really happy. You know, how about yourself, bro?
Everything's good, man. I can't complain. Can't complain at all. I do who's going to help me. There it is. We got a good show for you guys. Of course, we have our weird news. We have our current events. Well, you know, among other things that we may pop up and do on this show. So, no further ado.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the world today and this week?
Well, before we get into that, we definitely got to, you know, with our opening scripture.
Definitely have to open up with a word.
That vacation was good for you, huh?
definitely
got to
open up with a word.
So our word tonight, it comes from 1 Samuel 16, 6, and 7. Basically, what I want you to keep in mind is that God does not see how we see. All right, so in the scripture, giving you the background on the text before we go into it, Saul, who is currently the king, God has left him, and he's told the prophet Samuel to go anoint the next king. going into the Samuel has to travel to another land, and when he gets there, he's seeing the sons of Jesse, and you know Jesse is the father of David, and he sees them, and he sees this one child, beautiful young man, and he just knows that he is the king to be. His name goes by the name of Eli. All right, so this is the text. So it was when they came that he looked at Eli and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, the beautiful thing about this text is that a lot of times we look at our situation, like we look at our outward stuff. We don't have the resources to do this, or we don't have the bank account to do that, or we don't have the strategic plan to do something, or we don't have the mindset or the degrees, or we don't have the credentials, or we don't have the right references, or we don't have something. That's how we always feel. There's just some reason why we shouldn't go after the desires of our hearts that the Lord has placed there. But the scripture often says, talks about how with God nothing is impossible and how God sees something different. I used to ask myself, because I met a lot of people, I am becoming an artist, I used to say, wonder, why did God choose me? For there are so many people who are talented and who have done so much and who have the huge support of the street behind them already and who have experience and who are connected in so many ways. Why would God choose me? I'm a nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm a fatherless nobody at that. I don't have no kind of family at all. So why would you choose me? But here we are now, 2013. I just got an email yesterday saying that I have been announced to be top 20 independent artists for January 2013. They got me ranked at number 7. And you're looking, this is a nobody who, at the outward appearance, I don't think I could do it. So this is encouragement to all those out there. Don't look at your resources. Don't look at yourself and limit who God is and who he can be, because if God has chosen you, there's something about your heart that causes you to be physically ready and mentally ready and spiritually ready for this. So the whole thing about it is, in short, because what I didn't read to y'all, that David, as we know, who became King David, who killed Goliath, who became one of the greatest leaders and greatest kings of all time, is the guy that he chose over the beautiful, strong, handsome Eliab, his brother. So just keep that in mind, that do not look at yourself and limit who God is, because if God has chosen you, that means there is a great destiny ahead. And that is the word for tonight.
There's really nothing to say about that. What is given? It's not really given.
Yeah.
You know, and we always talk about how we always want things better than what we already have. The comparison game and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pull out of that, because you're comparing yourself to someone who you don't, you think you know, but you really don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Amen.
And truthfully, financially, they may look like they're doing better than you, but they may be doing worse than you.
True.
You do not know that. You know what I mean? So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get ourselves right. We got to be better here. Beginning of the month. New beginning. Oh, everything is new right now. Let's not bring in that old stuff into the new, to the new you. New skin.
And that's,
even wrapped up.
That's so deep, because even today in church, my pastor was talking about how he said, a lot of times, we got to shift in the new year. It's a new year. Then you have, people moving to new places and all kind of new stuff around them. But the same old terrible stuff seems to happen again. Why is that? Because we're so focused on changing things around us. But the thing that needs to change is our mindset, our hearts. You know what I mean? You can't, it's just an example. If you take anybody off the streets, and you throw them in a mansion, they still gonna be crazy, don't get twisted. Because you see a lot of these, a lot of athletes or actors or whatever, they get caught up in drugs or scandals.
You definitely need me to it, because I was definitely going to target the athletes and people who come from troubled backgrounds.
Right.
They got money, but now they're gonna just do stuff on a higher level.
Exactly.
That's why we look at a lot of athletes getting in trouble. They're still driving drunk. They're still selling, getting buying drugs. They're still doing these bad things. It's just that they're in a financially better place. They still have that same mindset. And my thing is, okay, you are a celebrity. Why are you still getting DUIs? I know you can't be far from your hotel. And if you are far from your hotel, you have the financial, you still have a financial situation where you can pay a cab to take you to your hotel or your home or wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still making millions of dollars and getting DUIs. What's up with that? You know, you see your average workman getting that because they have that habit of drinking and they have no other choice
mm-hmm.
to try to make it home.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have choices. Not to say that they are right by what they're doing, but I'm saying they have a choice. They have money. They can say, hey, you know what? I'm really messed up. I can't be driving this car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, not in their defense, but devil's advocate, playing the devil's advocate, it just comes down to mindset. It's just like they said, you can take a dude out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of him. Like, his mindset is still
crazy. Like, you can take somebody out crazy, but if the crazy is still in them, no matter where you put them at. So,
mm-hmm.
logically, in his mind or her mind, you know, man, I was drunk driving before I had money and I was cool. So, shoot, ain't that, I could do the same thing now because it's been working for me.
Mm.
So, it's a mindset thing. Like, my mind, you know, when you get to the point of realizing that you destroy yourself, like, we are our own worst enemies. We always blaming the devil. We always blaming our peers. We're always blaming society. We're always blaming the government. We're always blaming somebody. And true enough, there are outside factors that do influence our come-ups or our come-downs. But we are our own worst enemy. We destroy ourselves because it's a lot of desires. Like, we are like a guy next to me. Say if I was sitting next to somebody, just like he's capable of doing drugs, I'm very capable of doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The same resources he has are available to me. So what makes him do it and not me? His desires.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the same desires. He is his worst enemy. He has destroyed himself. And true enough, we can blame the drug dealers. We can blame the poppy field girls. We can blame all of them. But I can't blame him because I'm not doing anything. So I'm not at war with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But he is at war with drugs. It's his mindset. And the same thing with me. Like, say if I have a problem with lust and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
If he's cool, what is the problem with me? Why is it I can destroy myself because of my mindset? So our mindsets are the things that have to change. And this is the thing that we have to realize, that even celebrities, they're people too. And even regular people, they're people too. So
mm-hmm.
if their mindset ain't together, they're liable to destroy themselves.
Mm. There it is. You heard it here on the Covenant Cafe. You know what I mean? I would go to a song, but let's hear what's going on in the world, and then we can go to a song.
All right. Well, for starters, I feel like this is one of the most interesting things to start the year off with. So in Kansas, Kansas hits up sperm donor for child support.
What?
Yes, you heard it. It don't matter
wow.
who you are. If something's coming out of you that can create life, definitely believe that some, one way or another, you're going to be paying for the growth of that child. So the story starts by saying if you're planning to donate sperm in Kansas, you may want to do it through a doctor. That's one message from a case of William Marietta of Topeka. In 2009, he noticed a Craigslist advertisement from a lesbian couple, also Topeka, seeking donated sperm. Intrigued by the ad, he agreed to donate and says he delivered 3 cupfuls of his sperm to the women, one of whom gave birth to a daughter. He said that I donated the material and that was it for me. That's what he told CNN. Or so he thought. That changed when the parents separated and one of the women stopped working because of an illness and applied for state help. And he said they contacted Marriott for the child support. Kansas officials were not persuaded by what Marriott said, by their agreement that he signed making donations, that he assumed no financial responsibility for the child, who is now 3 years old. The Kansas Department of Child and Family said the agreement would not apply because the physician did not perform the insemination, in which Marriott said was news to him. So, you know, the story continues on, and it's very interesting, but this is my thing.
I feel like if I'm going to do something that big or that deep, it has to be doctors. It has to be in a place of profession. Like, we got to go to the clinic, and we got to have paperwork and all that stuff there, because why would you – all right, he got $6,000 for it. So basically by putting, you know, ejaculating into a cup, three cupfuls, giving it to him, got his 6 G's on the paper saying he doesn't have to take care of the kids and everything, he thought it was over. But this wasn't at a location. He saw it on Craigslist. It wasn't like he went to one of the places, one of the clinics or anything. This was from Craigslist. And you see the darnest things on Craigslist. But at the end of the day, it's like, honestly, personally, I don't even feel like sperm donations is what's up. I feel that way only because it's creating a life.
You create a life. And you're not taking responsibility. Although you feel like you're helping someone, but still, you bring it into life some way or somehow.
Yes. So I'm with you. I'm saddened. I'm sorry that it had to happen to him this way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like your ignorance led you to that, because I need to quit, but so I'm gonna go ahead and create a life.
Wow.
That's what it comes down to, because a lot of people, because you're getting paid for these sperm donations, so you're doing it for money and not thinking the value of your seeds. There's something very valuable that is placed inside of us, in our semen, and you just give it up. How could you not want to be there for something that was born from your bloodline?
Yeah.
So I don't pity. I feel like his ignorance has led him into this destruction, and he's going to have to deal with it for the next 15 years, because the child is 3 years. And I don't see him beating the cases, his lawyer said, but, you know, I'm more concerned is about the child.
That's wild.
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Continuing on with these wild things, so a lot of, as you know, going into this year, there was a lot of panic about the fiscal cliff, and as we know, they did not come onto an agreement. So I want to give an update on what we're looking at, because the fiscal cliff deal was not made. So for starters, number one, there's payroll taxes. So as of 2013, most of the 160 million American workers will get smaller paychecks. The Social Security tax rate increases from 4.2% to 6.2%. At the national average salary of $41,000, you receive $32 less on a biweekly paycheck. So that's number one. Number two, the tax rates. Tax rates rise for individuals with incomes more than $400,000 annually. Tax rates rise for couples with incomes more than $450,000 annually. Tax rates increase from 35% to 39.6%. For those with incomes less than these amounts, the income tax rates from 2012 are still in place. Rates range from 10% to 33%. Number three, investment taxes. The tax rates for capital gains and dividends are going up. Tax rates rise for couples with incomes more than $450,000 annually. Tax rates rise for individuals, $400,000 annually. Tax rates increase from 15% to 10%. So these are all the tax rates. You're going to notice the difference in your checks from depending on your bracket, but I'm just giving you a quick breakdown. So number four, the family tax breaks. A series of important tax breaks for families have been extended. They include American Opportunity Tax Credit, a partially refundable credit of up to $2,500 a year for 4 years for low-income families. It's 5 years extended now. Child Tax Credit allows lower-income parents to claim as much as $1,000 for each child under 17. This has been extended for 5 years. Earned Income Tax Credit provides a credit for working Americans with low and moderate incomes, extended for 5 years. Also, the Dependent Care Tax Credit, working parents continue to receive credit as much as 35% of the child's care expenses, up to $3,000 per child, $6,000 per family, and this is permanent now. Number five, itemized deductions. Limitations have been placed on personal exemptions and itemized deductions for wealthy Americans. Individuals with incomes more than $250,000 annually, they are now limited. Married couples with incomes more than $300,000 are now limited. Those with incomes more than $422,500 are not eligible. So these are some changes if you're in these brackets, pay attention. Number six, the tax breaks for unemployment benefits and the AMT. The fiasco cliff deal includes a number of tax breaks for business and individuals. It extends long-term unemployment benefits that were set to expire at the end of 2012. The income exemption level for the alternative minimum tax is permanently indexed to inflation. We wrap it up, the sequester, the fiscal cliff deal postponed the sequester by 2 months. The sequester is a name for a series of drastic cuts in federal spending. The cuts will affect the budgets of many federal agencies and projects. The cuts would reduce the budget by 8 to 10%. The cuts were supposed to go into effect on January 2nd.
Oh, okay.
The last thing is the debt ceiling. The deal put off addressing the debt ceiling. The federal government hit the $16.4 trillion debt ceiling on December 31st, 2012. The federal government will find ways to shuffle around the money to pay its bills for another 2 months. Then Congress and the president have to address it.
Wow.
So this is what we're dealing with now that we've had the fiscal cliff. You see there's been dramatic changes for both the wealthy and for the lower class and the middle class. So be aware when you see your changes in your check and when you see you're eligible for different tax breaks, whether it be good or whether it be bad, don't panic. This is what happened because of the fiscal cliff.
Wow. Well, since I'm in that $250,000 range, I won't be affected. I'll be getting cut.
Nah.
Yeah, right.
I was say, but toss me some so I could be straight too.
Wow, that's a lot of information, and there's a lot going on with that fiscal cliff stuff.
It definitely is. And due from all this, that goes into our next topic about how Obama, what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the Republican Party. Dude came out and straight up said that he would not come into agreement with anything he has to say. So now we have it's very obvious of the Republican Party and President Obama's relationship is practically very tense and strained right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's practically like not even agreement. So we have other ordeals that we're getting ready to go into. So we definitely got to keep our eyes peeled. There's a giant shift in the government right now, which is going to affect us in the long term because they're not coming to agreements and a lot of things aren't going to be extended anymore. So definitely keep your eyes open and, you know, not trying to speak ahead of time, but when things come up about voting, definitely look into what's really going on because you have some amendments that need to be renewed. Like I remember this was a couple years ago. I can't remember which amendment it was, but it was an amendment for black people to vote, and it had expired. Of course we got renewed, but if people did not vote for it and we were dealing with a dirty Congress, we would not have been able to vote after all this, after we went through. So with that being said, there are a lot of bills and a lot of things that's coming up that we definitely need to be alert on and we definitely need to keep in mind.
Wow, that's a lot going on in our world today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is give you guys a break because we have some more information, some weird news, which includes, the strangest things. I would say one success story, which the world's fattest man loses 46 stone. And needs surgery. Listen, this gentleman needs, he shattered 46 stones. Yeah, well, we don't get into that, what that means. another headline story that we're going to talk about. It's this guy was running a meth lab out of a daycare center.
Wow.
Yeah, so some interesting stuff coming up, of course. You know, we'll have our inspirational story for the day, you know, Poetic Corner. So everything is going good here on the Covenant Cafe. So we're going to go into Tamela Mann, Taken to the King, here on the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Take Me to the King, Tamela Mann.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left? I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to
offering. Oh, baby, I'm the one.
Leave me there.
Leave me
Pamela Mann, Take Me to the King.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Beautiful song. Now, before we get into the word, weird news for today, let me cover something that everybody's probably watching this weekend. This is the playoffs in the NFL. A wild card weekend. Of course, my Detroit Lions did not make it. They just didn't want to make it this year. They want to give someone else a chance. So that's the story, and I'm going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the teams that played this weekend, you had the Colts versus the Ravens. The Ravens won 24-9. This is Ray Lewis' last run after 17 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they make poor progress in the playoffs. So they take out the Colts 24-9. The Packers play the Vikings, which is my division with the Detroit Lions playing, but we weren't in the playoffs, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, Green Bay Packers, take out the Vikings 24-10. So the Packers advance. The Texans beat the Bengals 19-13, so they advance. And today we have a knockdown fight going on in Washington, D.C., FedEx Field, which is the Seahawks versus the Washington Redskins. Right now, the Seahawks are winning 19-14, and that is the NFL for this weekend.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what's going down. You know, everybody's tuned in to it, so, you know, I might as well let everybody else know what's going on in the NFL this week. Next week is going to be pretty intense. So we'll see what happens next week. We'll see if RG3 moves forward. Right now they're struggling. But there's a good game going on over there. Now, for the weird news, this man in the game, he lost what they call, they go by stones. So their measurement is in stones, 46 stones. That's the equivalent of 644 pounds.
Mm.
He lost. Now, he was the one-sided man, so he's looking forward to having a normal life after losing all that weight. The former postman weighed in about actually 70 stones, which is equivalent to 980 pounds. Before having a gastric bypass in 2010 to reduce the size of his stomach. Now he currently weighs 24 stones, and that's the equivalent of 336 pounds. So, you know, he went through the surgery, so he lost all that weight. And he's about 51 years old, so he said he was ashamed to be called the fattest man in the world because I knew I got myself in a hell of a state. Now, I guess I could well be the biggest swimmer in the world, but I still have that goal. I want to get down between 14 and 15 stone, which was equivalent to 210 pounds to 196. So that is his goal, to get down. That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight.
Now, got an interesting story here. We have thieves tried to rob jewelry store. Instead, they steal from KFC instead. Let's try to figure this one out. It says ABC News reports that two thieves plan to rob Wright's Jewelry Australia on New Year's Eve, but they knocked through the wrong wall and end up inside of KFC next door to the jewelry store.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Dwayne Doolin and Peter Welsh allegedly made the best of their situation by robbing the KFC restaurant. Instead, the man threatened workers with a metal bar, and one of the employees opened the safe where they only got $2,600. They tried to get away. They fled on foot, but they were soon apprehended by the police. Welch was charged with armed robbery, stealing, burglary, and attempted burglary during the Charlotte robbery. How's that for a highlight of your day? You try to rob a jewelry store and instead you get chicken, something that you can eat and not trade on.
And some of the crimes are just stupid.
Yeah.
I'm coming at a loss of words because it's becoming so common and ignorant to where, you know, continue to mark.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Now, check this out. This is a sad story here. You have Bill Bloomer ran a meth lab out of Iowa daycare. Financial experts also stress that is a diversifying one's business asset. But a man in Davenport, Iowa, may have taken that too far. He's accused of running a meth lab in the same location as daycare. Police arrested Dale Bloomer on December 30th on a felony charge of manufacturing methamphetamine. I always have problems saying that. Where his living girlfriend, Amanda Taylor, runs a daycare. Arresting officers found several ingredients used in making meth, as well as guns and ammunition. It has been determined whether the actual drug was in the home, according to the Associated Press. An officer said the suspect did admit to making meth there about 20 times in the past couple of months.
Dang.
Yes, a police spokesperson couldn't confirm whether or not children were present in the daycare during the arrest, but authorities are still looking into the matter. As might be expected, his neighbors are shocked by that allegation. This young lady who lives next door told the news there that he can't believe no one would ever actually go on when they. No one knew what was going on behind closed doors. He said he find it odd that it can go on. It went on apparently a long time. I see a lot of parents picking up their kids after school and going in and out of the house. I mean, I've never been in there, but their kids play with my kids. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. A meth lab and a daycare center.
It's interesting more so because it kind of lets you know where the times are that we're in, where it's more a person's health, another person's health, their life, it doesn't mean anything. As long as you get money, as long as you get what you need, as long as you get what you want, so to say. Because let's just keep it real. There's some unwritten laws of gangsterism, you know, you put it like that. There's certain things you just don't do. It's not that it's written anywhere because everything is illegal anyway, but it's certain things you do. Like, you don't give a baby marijuana. You know, that's just something you don't do. Even if you're doing it, you don't give it to a baby. You know what I mean? And to slay meth, because meth is very dangerous. Not just taking it, but the whole cooking it up and everything. Because once light moves, the whole house can explode if you do something wrong. So one thing you just don't do is have kids in that environment. And it's just crazy. I'm almost heartbroken.
The bottom line is risking children's lives.
Right.
Risking children's lives. And that, like you said, a thing could blow up. I mean, like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you that strung out that you don't care what's going on? I mean, come on now. Children are in the house. And not to say let me see, how can I say this? It's just not your children.
That's
what I can say.
Right.
It's just not your children.
Mm.
You have other people's children in this house. You have other people walking in and out. You have people coming in, dropping off their kids, or saying, hey, I just picked up my child. Let me strap my child in a seatbelt, and I'm going to run back in here and grab some paperwork.
Yeah.
Mac Lab blows up. Now this child is without a parent.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? There's just so many variables besides the obvious that you just, like you said, an unwritten rule. You just don't do it.
Yeah.
You say, hey, I want to do marijuana. Okay, that's your life. You're risking your life. That's your salvation, whatever. You just don't give it to a kid.
And exactly. Cool.
You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are with our weird news. And, of course, we have to pay our bills the legal way. Advertisement. Not selling mess. You don't do that here.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace.
You have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
My crew loves that person.
They was ready to shout. They've been gone for so long.
They just went off on that. Well, actually, that's what we can do. We're going to cover our New Year's resolutions between you and I. And maybe we'll get some type of feedback from our listeners today. Normally, me personally, I don't really set New Year's resolutions, but because I have to be more goal-oriented and things of that nature, I said maybe this year I should go ahead and set something reachable. And I said a couple of things. Of course, number one, definitely be stronger in the word.
Mm-hmm.
You always be stronger in the word. So every time you read something, the situation you're going through, you may go in there and you may see the same race for many times, but different things depending on what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of be stronger in the word. Number two is become the best performer that I can be.
Mm-hmm.
More comedy, stuff like that. There's a lot of opportunities that's coming up, and I just want to be the best at what I do.
Yes, sir.
Also be the best Blog Talk Radio show host, along
yeah.
with you. You know, just be the best at what I can do, and give it 100%, no matter what's going on. You know, because you have a lot going on, you know, behind closed doors. But when you perform, and no one cares about that.
True.
Yeah. You're like, hey, man, you know, this play was all right, but your performance sucked, man. You can't be like, well, the reason why I didn't do good because I got these bills that's coming. No, nobody wants to hear that.
Nobody, yeah.
No, they don't want to hear that. They want to say, you know, they paid their money and want to see a good show.
Exactly.
And that's what it is. What about yourself?
That was good stuff. Mine, truly and honestly, not even sound all spiritual and whatnot, but that's the type of person I am. Mine is really to get stronger with God, to get stronger in the Word. My whole thing is, you know, the Bible says that seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and all things will be added to you. So with that being said, it's like you can't help but to become a better person at everything you do when you're following God. You know, going into this new year, man, Lord, was on me hard. The words, to whom much is required, to whom much is given, much is required. And just, I actually had a chance to sit down and look, and I was given a lot of stuff, you know what I mean, as far as God has done so much in my life. Put me from here and put me there. He gave me every resource that I need to do a job. I have it, whether it be cameras, whether it be the studio. It comes, and I have no money to pay for it yet. It's always done at a high professional level. So, with that being said, I want to give God more. It's like I can feel a strong tug on me. I gotta fast more. I got to read more. I got to study more. I got to be able to chop things up, because going into this year, this is more than just a new year. You know how everybody say, this year is my year, or this year, y'all, we taking over. And then halfway through the year, you don't hear it no more. I've never been the type of person to be like that, and I won't start now. So with this year, it's really big, because with each day passes, we have more days behind us than we do ahead of us. You know, that's a true statement, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. But you do know what happened yesterday and before that. So I have a lot of years. I have 24 years behind me, but I don't know how many years I have ahead of me. So with that being said, each day, each second, each moment in time, I'm growing closer and closer to the time for me to go home when God calls me home. So each moment, even as we're speaking right now, is very crucial. I am on point with God, and I'm on point with the mission that He has for my life. In order for me to be real accurate and real strong at what I'm supposed to do in life, I need more of Him. I need to hear Him more. And in order for me to hear Him more, I got to spend more time with Him. So my resolution, I wouldn't really call it a resolution, because I declared it before we came into the year, but the new year is what's holding me accountable. My goal is to be closer. I want every time you see me or you feel me or you speak to me, there's a light that's so much, that's so different than the darkness of the world. There's something about me that you just like, just Jesus that lives in Him for real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, and I want to be that lifestyle. Like, even on my worst day, I don't want you to know it's my worst day. Example, I'm not saying like perfection, but what I am saying is, if I'm in a bad mood, I still want to smile. I still want to open a door for you. I still want to pick something up for you. I still want to serve you, even when I don't feel like it. And I want to have a good attitude while I'm doing it. And I want, like, oh, all right, I got you. Like, no. Like, okay, I do it. What else you need me to do? Even though I'm in a bad mood, or I haven't ate yet, or I can't pay my bills, regardless of all of that what's going on, I still want to be on fire to where, like, hands down, God, every time God looks at me, He's like, you know, well done, my servant.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it up. You know, that's what I want. And I don't want a year to be full of, Lord, I'm so sorry, forgive me, I didn't mean to do it. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to keep pushing. And there's so many doors and opportunities that are already opening for me. I want to be on point, but at the same time, I don't want to lose my soul in the midst of everything. You know, God has been showing me some true recipes and true essence of everything, like the true story behind everything. A lot of people think that when you lose your soul or selling your soul, you think of somebody coming to you and I give you $1 million for your soul, or I give you celebrity for your soul, or I would do this, that, and the third for your soul. That's not the whole story. A lot of times we lose our souls by getting consumed, and the sad thing is you don't know it. Like, example, you grind for a better tomorrow, not realizing your today is falling apart. So it's work, to where you don't take time out to go to the movies or chill with your family, chill with your friends, chill with your spouse. You're doing all this stuff, and your character is being depleted. You're becoming a nomad. You spend so much time writing or so much time in the studio, so much time at the job, that you don't have another life. Slowly but surely, your soul is slipping away. Money is becoming your motivation, or your goal-oriented mindset has become your motivation, and not God, not Jesus, not relationship with him. And slowly but surely, you're losing your soul to the ways of the world. And it's so easy to be consumed. And I can, in my maturity as a prophet, as a man of God, I can say that I've hit that mark so many times of being close to losing my soul. When accolades and all this stuff's coming in, I'm like, oh, I got to work harder. Oh, I got to help all these people. I'm calling all these people. I'm praying for all these people. I'm traveling all these places, and I'm helping so many people that there's no time for my family. There's no time for my girlfriend. There's no time for me. There's no time for me alone with God and being still. It's just run. And slowly but surely, my character's going away. I'm not laughing as much. I'm not smiling as much. I'm not being that light. God woke me up and told me, I didn't call you as an artist. I didn't call you as a prophet. I called your lifestyle. There's a room full of haters. You better be the one that's loving. That's what I called you for. It don't take you sharing scriptures and praying for people to change people's lives. A smile and a hug can change somebody's whole day. But if you just walk by them, they can commit suicide after you leave. But if you smile and hug them, that causes them to feel a love that they're not getting from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So in this 2013 year, I want to do better. And I'm very hard on myself. So it's not that I'm not saying that I've done bad, but I'm saying I can do better. And I'm saying that I can always do better, because you should never hit a point where you have climax and then you start decreasing. There's no stopping point. Until the day we die, there's something about us that we can better. We have not hit perfection until God has called us home. So there's something. And in order for me to accomplish all those goals, like I said to start with, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all else can come to me. So the more I'm serving God, the more I'm seeking God, resources will come. The more I'm seeking God, the more I'm working for his kingdom, money will come. So I don't need to focus on that. Food will come. He even said bread. Man should not eat bread to live. You know what I mean? You should be eating the word of God. So all that stuff is going to come to you the more you seek God, the more you stay after him. You have to have a heart for the God. So I'm constantly checking my heart. I'm constantly realizing that, like I said earlier in the show, that we are our worst enemies. We are destroying ourselves. Yeah, we are at war with sin and Satan and demons and the media and the world and all this stuff. Yeah, that is true. But how can something that's not bothering you or tempting you be a temptation to me? Therefore, it's a problem that I'm dealing with that I need to fix, because the same temptations that are bothering you, they're bothering me, but they don't affect me, but they affect you. So, I mean, it's a heart problem. It's something in your heart you need to work out, just like it's something in my heart I need to work out. So in this year, I want to address that, and I want to be realer with myself. I want to be realer with God. I want to be a brighter light for this generation. A pastor came up to me after my show. I had a show Friday, and the pastor said to me, he said, this is your generation. You make sure you take it, because there's too many souls out here. And when he said it, it hit home to my heart, because I have to work harder. I can't be lazy now. Because if I die tomorrow and I don't accomplish the things that I'm supposed to accomplish, what is that saying? I want my heavenly kingdom of God resume to be so tight. You know, a lot of us talk about, you know, our degrees and what we've done down here. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that don't mean nothing to God on the real.
No.
Like, when God look at your resume, like, oh, okay, so you went to Harvard, and you got this car, and you've been president for this company for so many years. That's a nice earthly resume, but what have you done for the homeless? Or what have you done for those juvenile kids? Or what have you done for your family? The Bible says a man who does not take care of his home is worse than an unbeliever.
Wow.
So how can you, I don't want to get caught up in ministry and say my wife, I'm in ministry, I'm grand, I'm saving all these souls, but my wife at home doing dope.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you worse than a sinner. That's what the Bible's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you say what?
Yeah, tell them, let them know, let the people know.
So that, this is what, you know, it's funny you got me off on the tantrum, but this is what my resolution, if anything, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
My resolution is more of a revolution. It's more of a push. It's more of a get people to wake up and let's get it. It's more of, but this change, though, that I'm trying to push, it's starting with me. You know, I'm fully aware of that. You know, Satan was an angel, right? Satan was at a point of perfection. He was up there with God. He was up there with Jesus. He was up there with all the angels. He knows God. He was the most beautiful angel, had the best vocals, dope, all the jewelry and everything. And iniquity still found him. So what do you think iniquity, sin, can do to a man or a woman if it found him who was at perfection? So these are the things we got to be aware of. Like, we can destroy ourselves. Iniquity can find us. And I'm not willing to yield my spirit or my soul to those desires. You know, we're dealing with a lot of demons and stuff. You know, keep that in mind. I'm not taking anything away. You know how a lot of people say, the devil busy, or Satan did this, or demons this and that, or the spirit of lust, or spirit of this. Yeah, true. These things do occur. But you got to realize that it's a us thing. You can't change the world until you change yourself. Changing your environment, it won't fix the situation. Because if you still got the same mindset, you're going to be as crazy as you was in the projects, all the way to a mansion. If you have the same mindset, you're going to deal with the same problem just to a higher degree. A marijuana problem in 2012 can end up being a cocaine problem in 2013. It's a mindset thing. It's all in the mind, and we have to check that. So that's my resolution. A resolution is a change and a steady increase. Steady push. More God. I need more God. I need more God. You know, y'all say I'm a Jesus freak now. By the end of 2013, the Holy Father caught me. You know, I got to be something closer to God now because that's how much I need him. Not in the point where it's like I can't relate to people because I'm still late. Still can relate to people. And that's what God called me to be as a lifestyle. But more so, I need more of him to the point where it hurts you to sin around me just because God is so thick inside of me. And it hurts me to even be around it. That's how bad it is. Because God hates sin. He can't stand it, so he turned his back to it. So that's how I got to be. I have to be like him to where I can't tolerate ignorance anymore, nor can I celebrate it with you.
Wow. Here it is. And after that, let's go to... this is a classic Kirk Franklin, Why We Fame, here on the Covenant Cafe. Kirk Franklin, the reason why we fame.
For some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise, where's the family in Jesus' name? I would like to tell you the reason why we sing. That
we
sing because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing.
I sing because
His eyes on
me. His eyes on me.
That's the reason.
That's the reason why I sing.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
Glory.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You're the reason.
The reason why I sing.
Can we say it again? Someone asked.
Someone asked.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands.
When we lift our hands to Jesus.
Oh, what do we really mean?
What do
Someone may be wondering.
Someone may be wondering.
When we sing our song.
When we sing our song.
At times we may.
At times we may be crying.
And nothing's even wrong.
And nothing's even wrong.
This is the reason why I sing the chorus. In here. We've all said amen.
We've all said amen.
In your heart, just keep on singing.
In your heart, just keep on singing.
And the song will never end.
And the song will never end.
Listen. And if somebody asks you,
and if somebody asks,
was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole world no.
When we cross that river,
and when we cross that river,
the study war no more.
The study war no more.
We will sing.
We will sing our song to Jesus.
The one whom we adore.
The one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because.
I sing because.
I sing because.
I sing because.
I don't know why he does it, but it's not. My melody at midnight, Jesus. You're my song in my storm, Jesus. You're the hymn in my heart, Jesus. You're the reason why. Oh, I love you. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
This one. make it to heaven. I just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river.
Father,
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, 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 I just want my name written. Oh Lord, written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah, yeah. And when this life is over, I
Dietrich had her. He's a monster.
That was a great ride out. That was, I love it.
I mean, like, the talent, you know, it just comes.
Yeah.
When people, some people sing, it's natural. And other people, when they try, they have to work. They have to work hard at it.
Yes.
But when it, the way it comes across for me, for this individual, it's just natural.
Mm.
Yeah. It's natural.
Mm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. It's time for the infamous poetic, the poetic spot here on the Covenant Cafe. And let me just say it the correct way. The poetry spot.
Mm.
2013, and we definitely have something in store for you. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the intro, and we're going to hit them up with some good stuff here on the Covenant Cafe, the poetry spot. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, something's going on with my intro here.
This
is
the poetry spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Take being down the tongue and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free-flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the poetry spot.
So, Lace, do you have anything special for us today? What do you have for us?
You know what? I haven't done this in a long time. So I'm gonna rip out something out the back of my brain. A long time ago, I did a piece. It's called Change of Motion. This is actually one of the first poems I ever wrote. And I did it because there was a lot of change in my life that I was putting in motion. I wrote this for kids as well as grown folks, but more so, it's a universal poem of letting you know my change that I'm putting into motion. And it goes like this. Poetically, I'm deep like the deep blue sea. I ain't worried about these sharks because they outfit me. I'm a killer whale in this crazy ocean. I can get on any girl like her favorite lotion. You know, lead it to the up and down motion. Wait. That's the past, it didn't last, and I'm on a tight fast. Got to go these earthly desires for the one I admire. Hang it up, Satan, it's time to retire. I'm on fire, and I want to be a part of God's empire. You could say that I'm a liar if I'd rather be a bit-timer. Flame on, tell me how you think I came on. I praise God even when I was getting rained on, stained on. I was born to sin, that's why I had some chains on. No longer a slave, but I'm stuck with these gold chains on. Lamos, trying to stay on my head like some Kangos. Y'all real thin, that's why I'm eating y'all like some Pringles. Speak my lingo, that's the only way we gon' mingle. I'ma keep it single until I meet the one that can see my jingle. I'm on improved change, trying to expand my range. It's kind of strange that people despise such things. We used to be close friends like Sister Lilo. Now you're lost.
Dang, I can't find Nemo. Maybe we need therapy, something like chemo. But what's the use? That's a bigger gamble than going to a casino. Things change from hatred to growing a new game. No shame, this motion is something I have claimed. Change in motion.
Wow. Now, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Now, we actually going to go into a song.
Yes.
Broken Wings. Can you tell the audience about Broken Wings?
I definitely want us to go into Broken Wings tonight because I realized something very important about all of us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have been through a lot in the year 2012. More so, some of us have been through some things from birth to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And the very fact that we have made it into 2013, still standing, it lets me know that even though we all have a form of broken wings, we have still are flying. So it is very possible to fly with broken wings.
You know what? It's so funny that, you know, there's a piece, a short story that I want to read, an inspirational story. And we're going to get into that, of course, after Broken Wings. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Broken Wings here on the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
It's so hard to fly when your wings are broken. I guess it's hard to see God when you're so blind. You still gotta look for that light though. Tell him, Nova.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation, Lord, so that I may fly away. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation, Lord, so that I may fly away.
Poetically, I'm trapped in enigma. I'm at the kind of dare asking why you pulled the trigger. It must have been confusion from the blunts and the liquor. Seeing you in here only makes me get sicker. I'm mad, I'm pissed, I'm something like a bladder. Most my dogs slip when I started up the ladder. We were close friends, but you never helped my struggle. It was mostly criticizing, pointing out my trouble. Don't get it wrong, the love was there. But in my heart, I couldn't really say you care. That's like the women came around trying to get paid. But in the end, every single one felt played. No PS3, Nintendo, we are Xbox. That's so ironic, cause the game don't stop. I can remember every girl that I slept with. But I wish I could forget that.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation.
My brother's been praying that he just holds on. My mom's been praying that my brother comes home. The streets ain't really what you wanna call home. It's like times get hard. The harder we grow, we growing hard. So what else do we know? It's a hard night life and I had to live it twice. So many mistakes with God to treat me nice. I'm wondering and pondering, thinking and blinking. Keep a sober mind. Far from drinking, I gotta do it. Crabs in the pot, they tryna pull me down. Cause the water is hot, the water is scorching, the water is scorching. These crabs are deceitful cause they know what's approaching. Step around the corner, please pull me out of terror. I'm only 23, but I know the pallbearer.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation, Lord, so that I may find. For the right direction, I'm searching for the road of salvation, Lord, so that I may find a way.
Waking up in the morning, I got a sad surprise. I lost my closest homie to a game of homicide. We in the city where you see the skinny dudes die. It's important that we pray just to keep by. I'm at a funeral, his mom is crying on my shoulder. They had my blood flowing slower, now my heart's colder. So I invested in some heat in case I have to teach. Then I heard, grab your Bible, keep that in your reach. Lord, pardon my mistakes, I had to play my hand. No spades, hearts of diamonds, such a tragic hand. So I went to the clubs, looking for some love. Never realized all the while it's God that I shoved. God is good, man, I promise you can make it through. Bow down, confess Christ, is what you have to do. It's nothing to it, speak your heart, shouldn't feel shook. If you don't know what to say, just repeat the hook.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. So that I may fly away. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. So that I may fly away.
Well, I've always told you that song is phenomenal.
Glory to God.
But Tina is definitely blessed and very talented. Very, very talented.
I really appreciate that.
What's amazing to me is when you see
a bird with a broken wing, when you see an animal with a broken paw, such as a dog, and you see them hobbling on, I just let you know something. The determination rides in everyone and everything. And sometimes we let things get in our way and just set us back instantly.
Hmm.
Instantly. As a matter of fact, and the reason why I said that is I was talking to this gentleman who his daughter got pregnant in the 11th grade, and she had a baby where most people would let that get to them, and they would drop out of school or they'd just go to community college or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
This young lady persevered through all of that, just like a wounded animal. Persevered through all of that, and she received the Bill Gates Award.
Mm.
And the Bill Gates Award, it's a full ride all the way to your doctorate's degree. And she just graduated from college with her master's.
Mm.
And now she's moving on to her doctorate's degree. And I let you know that you may have a broken wing. Not to say a child is a bad thing. That may be your broken wing. You can't let certain things stop you. Because according to statistics, she was supposed to drop out of school.
Right.
Black female, pregnant in the 11th grade. Oh, well, that's it for her. No. Academically, she soared.
Mm.
That wing was mended. That leg was mended.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying? So. It goes into this story that I got offline. This is not my story. This is not poetic story. This is not our story. This story that I want to read to you comes from the inspirational poems.net. The name of the story is The Mule and the Whale, written by Inspiration Poems. And the story goes like this. This old farmer had a mule that fell into the farmer's well. The water wasn't very deep, so the mule was able to stand on the bottom. After assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth saving. The farmer called his neighbors together and told them what had happened and enlisted them to help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Initially, the mule was hysterical, but as the farmer and his neighbors continued to shovel dirt on his back, a thought struck him. it dawned on the mule that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he would shake it off and step up. This he did, blow after blow of dirt hitting his back, shake it off and step up. The mule repeated this statement over and over to encourage himself, no matter how painful the blows of distressing the situation seems. The old mule fought, panicked, and just kept on shaking it off and stepping up. It wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped over the wall of the well. What had seemed would bury him actually saved him because of the manner in which he handled his adversity.
Mm.
The moral of the story, that's life. If we face our problems and respond to them positively and refuse to give in to panic, bitterness, or self-pity, the adversities that come along to bury us often have within them the very real potential to benefit us. Remember this fact. Amateurs built the ark, which was Noah. Professionals built the Titanic.
Mm.
And now, and this goes back to the story that I just told you before this one. The 11th grader that had the baby, there was no self-pity. There was no, okay, man, I'm messed up. I might as well drop out of school. This mule that was in his well, he said, man, I'm stuck in his well. And they're going to throw dirt, you know, they're throwing dirt on him. And he used the dirt to climb out. Each dirt that hit his back, he shook it off and used it as a stepping stone. Each time, there's a stepping stone. Each time there was a stepping stone. This young lady who had the baby, do you understand that the Bill Gates scholarship is like one of the best scholarships there is?
Because
it gives you a full ride to your doctorate degree, as well as you receive a stipend to go to school. So this young lady didn't have any self-pity. So she recently graduated from a college with her master's, and now she's pursuing her doctorate. This particular mule could have gave in and like, okay, they're going to bury me. That's it. That's the end of my line. But he shook the dirt off and used it to his advantage. And in that story, we need to remember the same adversities that face us can be used to strengthen us, not for us to give in. You know, you may be facing a lot of adversities. A couple of years ago, my neighbor, their townhouse was foreclosed on, but they ended up moving into a bigger and better house.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So yes. Every situation has a negative side, yes, initially, but depending on what you do with that situation can make or break your life, period. And in closing on this particular piece, what really got me, not just how the mule used the dirt to step up and make moves, the last two lines, last three lines, remember, amateurs built the ark, which was Noah, which helped save animals. Professionals built the Titanic, which killed a lot of people.
Yes.
You have any feedback on this particular?
The visual is what grabbed me at first, if you really think about it. So you got this donkey at his low, and it just seemed like it's getting worse, and just dirt falling on him. And if he did not shake it off, it would just build up on him.
And I'm just, it's, if you really picture what's going on, that blows your mind. It shakes it off. And, you know, a lot of times in life, a lot of stuff keeps coming at us. It keeps coming at us. It keeps coming at us. But if you shake it off, that last thing that just happened to you is building you for the next one. The fact that, I remember before, looking back at life in general, just like if I have an overview of my life, there was a time where I could not pay my bills. Like, it was just, I had no clue of what I'm going to do. And I had no contact with my family or anything. And looking at that now, shaking up and pressing forward, now when things happen, I don't get rattled. I'm very patient. I'm very understanding. It takes more than a bill collector to call me for me to say, oh, when am I, for me to trip out. It takes a lot more than that. So I'm looking at this donkey like, okay, all the dirt that was thrown on me, all the hatred, all the things that people have said, everything that went wrong has got me higher because I'm not at the bottom of the well anymore. I'm at the entryway, you know what I mean? So just looking at that visual, we can keep that in mind. That takes you a long way. On top of that, that Titanic, yeah. Because even in recent research, it's funny that you brought that up. When my partners was giving me some background about the Titanic, the Titanic was built out of pride. I never knew that. The Titanic was built to be the biggest ship ever, surpassing Noah's Ark. They built it purposely bigger than Noah's Ark. They went off the measurements of Noah's Ark, and they doubled it to make sure it was bigger. So one was a pride thing. So that lets you know, if you build your career based off of pride, you're going to fall. You are definitely going to sink because pride has no stability. Pride is an emotional asset. It comes and goes because you could be really high one moment, but when they start booing you, your pride sinks, your self-esteem goes low, and you're not going to go there. You're not going to go to the next level. Pride is an emotional asset. So whenever you try to build yourself off of pride, you know, you're bound to sink. You know, another thing from it, the whole thing about the Noah's Ark thing, because that was faith. All he was doing was being faithful to whatever God put in his heart. Because a lot of people, you know, people like to argue about audible voice of God. You know, if I tell you, man, I really heard the Spirit tell me to do this, you would think, okay, maybe that was his conscience telling him that, or maybe it's just his heart pushing him. A lot of people argue the audible voice, the out loud, like how you can hear me. People argue that you can't hear God like that. You know, a lot of people argue that. So anyway, if that argument was taken into consideration, let's say he heard God through his conscience, or he heard God because it was in his heart. When you have a relationship or a connection with God that's strong, that pushes you into faith. Because, you know, if you read the story of Noah's Ark in Genesis, you will see that there were people laughing at him, taunting him. Mind you, he had no experience. On top of that, that's very far-fetched. You're saving animal kind. It is they get all the people, the different tribes of the earth, and the different people from bringing it 2x2. He's saving the underdogs. So there are a lot of times where God will call you to save the people that don't seem to matter. Why are you helping a juvenile, Lamont? They're going to jail anyway. Disregard that. There's a lot of times in life you're going to be called to help the people that seem not to matter or the things that seem not to matter. The Noah's Ark was a sacrifice, if you think about it, because that took a lot of time to build. He didn't have the manpower necessary to get it done in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of times that God calls us as a sacrifice because Noah's family is what repopulated the earth after the flood. So with that being said, there are times where we're just going to be a sacrifice. We're going to be used just to be a sacrifice. The things that you are doing right now, Lamont, may be to build a better future for your daughters and the kids that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that we don't see the prosperity immediately, but remember I said it's all about that kingdom resume. So that just right there, what is the purpose of the Titanic and the purpose of Noah's Ark? What is driving you? What pushes you? It's so much that goes into it. So this young lady who was pregnant with a child, what was pushing her? She wanted a better tomorrow for her child, if not herself. So it pushes her. So there has to be something in our comings and our goings that pushes us for a better. It has to be something outside of yourself. Because if you rely on yourself, for your prosperity, quote unquote, mm-hmm. it leads you into destruction. Because remember, pride built the Titanic.
Now, also, I believe your support system is a part of that.
It's very important.
Very part of it. Because you can overcome it. Not to say you cannot, but it's going to be that much harder when you've got situations around you that's like, and now just think about this young lady that had a baby in the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And her support system was like, okay, look, you might as well just stop doing what you're doing. You know, you might as well just go ahead and start working. You might as well, you know, drop out of school because, you know, you got a baby. Or go ahead and finish your 12th grade year and then just go ahead and go to a community college.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then build your way up. Who would have said that she would got that type of scholarship?
That's true.
You know?
That's very true. And I honestly, even piggyback what you said, I disagree with the phrase self-made. I disagree with it 100%. You know how a lot of artists, a lot of entertainers, a lot of people in general, I'm self-made. I did this myself. I disagree because there are a lot of people who are close to me who have not been to any of my shows. Should they have even bought any music? But they are some of my best supporters, whether it was they got me something to eat, they
mm-hmm.
checked up on me with a phone call, they might have sent me some money, they might have been there just to hear me nag. That support system is what pushed me. Let alone the stuff that God has done. That's a whole nother book. But looking at people around you, that support system is key. And I feel like there is no such thing as a successful person that did not have the right support system. There has to be somebody in your life that holds you accountable, that said, keep pushing, Lamont. Keep pushing. Don't quit. And I know it looks rough, but you can't stop now. Or somebody who looks up to you is like, you know, why ask you telling them not to quit, and then when you get ready to quit, they ask me, but why you told me not to quit? There has to be. So I definitely agree with that, too.
Yeah, you know, even with me personally, I've had people that tell me, hey, man, you know, you just go ahead and get your regular job. You know, I've had people say that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you want to go to school to study, also if it seems to them that it's not profitable, they telling you, go ahead, get you a regular job.
Yeah.
You know, so support system helps tremendously, and also the people that don't believe in you helps you tremendously too, because if you have enough in you to say, I'm going to prove them wrong, that's enough to get you over the top.
Sure.
That's definitely enough to get you over the top. So guess what? I got the perfect song for that. And what we're going to get into is Fred Hammond, No Weapon, here on the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
40 Face.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Say no weapon.
you're going to get the job that fits that description. So your job is going to be somewhere in the janitorial fast food restaurant.
True.
Okay. Because you're not going to go into, like me personally, you know, my background is radio, TV, broadcasting. So I can't go into a local news station with my pants sagging, with my sneakers and my fitted cap on, with my favorite Detroit Lions shirt on, and come about a, you know, I'm trying to see what's going on with this job. Huh?
Mm.
What you trying to see what's going on with what job? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can read about it if you want to see it. You can read about it in the paper.
You know, so now you go in there with your button up. I mean, everybody don't have a suit. Let's say you don't own any khakis or any dress pants. So you still have to wear your jeans. Okay, let's pull your jeans up. Let's wear some casual shoes and a nice button up. Because if you're going for this job, if that's all that you have, truly indeed, make sure it works. I mean, if you have to go to the thrift store or you have to borrow a shirt, whatever, let's try to do something to better yourself when you're going to these establishments. Like I said, everybody don't have a suit. Everybody don't have a tie.
Right.
Well, if you go in and you show them, hey, look, I'm coming from this situation, I'm looking for a job, I'm willing to, you know, take this pay, whatever your experience is, whatever you're trying to do, you know, and the whole deal, I know I'm going on the rant, but we got to wrap this up. You know, with our race, is if we talk correct, speak correct English, we're talking white. We're trying to be white. We're trying to be too good to be this. You're too good to be that. No. We all have to know how to code switch. The way I talk to you is not the way I'm going to go and talk to my next client. Or my next job interview. You have to know how to code switch. I brought this situation up a couple weeks ago, where I heard I'm in a middle school, and one of the kids said to another kid, because he was, you know, first in line, man, you always think you're too good. I forgot the situation, jeez. You think you're too good. Okay, it was a line. Now, if you don't, he said, you think you all that. Excuse me. Why can't he thinks he's all that? What else is he supposed to think? Maybe he has to elevate himself into such a way because when he goes home, he gets beat down. Not physically, but through words. So when he goes out of the house, he has to big himself up because he wants to be better than everybody else that's around him. What's wrong with that? You know what I mean? There's a difference between you playing basketball and being a ball hog, and you going about life saying, hey, I'm the best at what I do. Because sometimes a ball hog is not a team player. They all for themselves. But in life, you have to be that person saying, look, hey, what I do, I'm good at what I do. What's wrong with that? There's a way you could say that without being conceited, yes, I agree. But there's still a part of it. You still have to say, hey, if somebody say, hey, how was the Covenant Cafe? Is that a good show? You know, I'm like, you're not going to say, man, it's okay. So tune in this week. Huh? Why would I want to tune in to something that you're the host of? And you're telling me it's okay. When Steve Harvey opens his show up, you know, he messes around. He says, Steve Harvey got a radio show. I can't believe I've done it. Steve Harvey got a radio show. And then he goes into some inspirational speaking. He doesn't open up and say, hey, Steve Harvey got a radio show and it's okay.
every radio station that you listen to, they say they're the best radio station.
They're the baddest in the land.
In the land. Every radio show, Steve Harvey, whoever, what's the baddest radio show in the land?
Mm. Yeah.
Every show going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
What show is going to say, what's the okay
radio
show? No, we okay. No. That goes with your personality. That goes with your situation. You have to elevate yourself to love, and you have to be humble about it. Key, humble yourself before God. Because once you humble yourself before God, amazing things happen. And not overnight.
True.
Oh, I want to be a Christian. I hear Christians get a lot of things that they pray. Huh?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's my rant. What is even it? I'm sorry, we do have 5 minutes. We have to get our words to live by for this week. What is that there, Lace?
Before I go, I want to piggyback off something you said. It's so funny you said it. Earlier this week, I told somebody it's the difference between being a ball hog and the scorer. And it's so funny that you said that because, you know, a ball hog, they try to make it happen. They're keeping the ball. They're really selfish. They're doing whatever it takes to make themselves look good. But a natural scorer just gets out and does him. Naturally tell him this is what he does. So it was amazing that you said that because I just said it this week. Just want to touch on that. the word of this week, once again, not even premeditated. We did not talk before the show or anything like that. Word of the week, it comes from 2 Chronicles 16. Just giving you a quick background on what's going on in this text. Previously, the king of Judah, he has ran through the Ethiopians who had an army full of 1 million people. Ran through them because he trusted in God. Then previously before that, his father, who was that king, they won a big battle and because he trusted in God. Now, leading to this, the children of Israel actually rose up to fight the children of Judah. And he, in fear, King Asa, he formed a treaty with the king of Syria instead of going to God like he did in the past. The treaty worked out. The children of Israel backed off. Now, the prophet Hananiah rose up and told him about his flaw, how he was wrong. So this is where we are right now. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." Now, basically, what's going on, like I told you already, the background, this is what you take into consideration. This is what the prophet Hananiah is telling him. God is, he searches the hearts. Jesus looking through the hearts throughout the earth, always looking through the earth for the heart that's loyal to him. And, you know, God wants the glory, so he shows himself strong. So take into consideration, when these trials and these tribulations, these things come to you, take into consideration that they're happening so God can bring you up, so God can show himself. Because remember, he went against the Ethiopians. When he fought against the Ethiopians, there was 1 million of them. God showed himself strong, and they proclaimed God to be the God of the earth. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the children of Judah, they got all the spoil. They got all the riches. So they started off with zero, and they had a whole bunch. In this situation with the treaty with Syria, he ended up paying them. So they lost money, and then there was no peace because now there's going to be wars. So what am I saying for this week? What I'm saying this week is to take in consideration that it's not about you. That all these things that come up here and there, all these random things, take in consideration that this is a time for God to show the light, his light inside of you. Take in consideration that this is your time to show that you are the best at what you do. That none of these little random things are going to tear you down because you are that close to God. And God dwells in you. You are the best at what you do. Can't nobody do you better than you.
Mm.
Nobody can do you better than you. And when God is in you shining that much, can't nobody mimic or copy you and make you look like a substitute because you are authentic. So take into consideration that every time something comes up, it is time for you to shine and do the best you that you do because God lives in you.
Hmm. And there it is. The best. You know, you want to be the best for your family.
Yes.
Best leader that's around you. Because how you gonna lead somebody somewhere and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
You know, God not through. And that's one thing that Steve Harvey I really like. He lets you know that he's not beyond God. He lets you know that, hey, you know, I have a radio show. These are my inspirational words, as well as God is not through with me yet.
Mm.
Because there are people who say they're holier than thou.
Mm.
And, man, you know what? That's another, man.
That's another show.
But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, shapes of all sizes and colors and creeds, thank you for listening to the Covenant Cafe here. As your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And we hope that you guys have a prosperous and great new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Enjoy.